This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a review of major human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran. Nick Kozar is a blogger, journalist, and political cartoonist who doesn't shy away from controversy. In his cartoons, he frequently criticizes the Iranian leadership at a time when the government is on the offensive, persecuting activists, journalists, bloggers, and human rights defenders for what they say on a website or sometimes merely post on a Facebook page. He's been jailed, he's received death threats, yet still nothing and no one is off limits. Nick, you're known for drawing a spot-on caricature of President Ahmadinejad.
It's really fun to draw Ahmadinejad or other Iranian leaders because they are very good, characters in a way to play with.
Now, in 2000, you drew a cartoon that got you in quite a bit of trouble. After a rumor had circulated that Iranian journalists were being bribed against Islam by Western forces, you came up with this satire of freedom of expression, and it showed a reptile named Professor Crocodile strangling a journalist with his tail.
The character in that cartoon that was a crocodile somehow resembled Ayatollah Mesbah Yazdi, who was a very, very prominent radical Islamist cleric. And thousands of clergy students gathered and shut down the seminary schools in the city of Qom. That's the main religious city with religious schools in Iran. And they had a sit-down protest for about 4 days. And during that time, I received a number of death threats. First, I didn't take it seriously. And then their professors and the Ayatollah were joining them. I thought, no, it was serious. And in the Friday prayers after that cartoon was published all around the country, there were a lot of demonstrations against me and calling for my death. That led to my arrest.
You spent 6 days in Evan prison and then you were released.
I found out that my case had become even more important than the parliamentary election at that time. So it was, having me arrested was too much trouble for the judiciary. So they somehow kicked me out of prison.
So what's the verdict? Did you intend to depict Ayatollah Yazdi in this cartoon or was this just a misunderstanding?
I denied the whole thing for a while because if I had accepted the responsibility, that would have been a lot of trouble. But yes, I meant to make fun of the Ayatollah by using that rhyming name.
So why take on this risk in the first place?
I think I knew that I needed to hit back on those people who were blaming the media and calling them stooges of the West. Because this was actually attacking our independence, attacking our ideas. Because we wanted to be free journalists who were doing our jobs.
Now, do you consider yourself an activist in a way?
I try not to be, but sometimes, yes, I have been. In a way, when you actually review the principles of journalism and you read your obligations and, you know, what are your duties, I don't know, can you call that activism or not? Because let me say, in Iran, most journalists are working somehow with the political parties. And I was an independent. Many of them are members of political party, getting money from them to actually write things to their benefit. I was an independent. So compared to many of them as a, let's say, cartoon activist or a media activist, I don't know.
Nick, let's get to why you left Iran.
I got a death threat in May of 2003, and it was coming from a group that was somehow responsible for the murders of a number of intellectuals. And when I received it, I wasn't sure was it real or not. So probably a day or two after I received that death threat, my name appeared on a death list.
And you ended up going to Canada. Why did you decide to stay?
I contacted my family in Iran, and they told me that they had gone to my old apartment to arrest me. And the tenant over there had received the papers from the judge and sent me, and then they sent me a copy. So I noticed that it wasn't a good idea to go back. So I decided to stay, and later I sought asylum and stayed in Canada. And it took my family, my wife and daughter, 4 years to join me. And probably the main factor that sometimes I felt sorry for drawing that cartoon and bringing that much trouble was the whole thing that I had to leave Iran, leave my family, and have a very hard time for almost 4 years.
Nick's body of work isn't only made up of caricatures of prominent Iranian leaders. He also addresses very sensitive issues such as abuses of human rights.
It's very difficult, actually, because when you draw something, you want to put some spirit into it. You want to feel the pain, to show the pain. Because cartoonists are somehow translators who translate realities into another language, the cartoon language. So when I want to, let's say, show execution of minors, it's really painful for me. I have to demonstrate it. Or when I want to show people that have been lashed or hanged, sometimes I really get headaches after drawing those cartoons.
And you've done a cartoon about the execution of minors?
There was one that the baby was looking at the news. I was trying to exaggerate the whole thing. Then instead of showing a young person being executed, I was showing actually a baby.
What's another difficult cartoon that you've drawn?
Probably one of the hardest cartoons was, I think, a few months ago, right after the Iranian parliamentary elections, when former President Khatami went to cast his vote in a city far away from Tehran. And many people expected him to boycott the election, but he didn't. I drew him sipping on Neda Sultan's blood.
Neda Sultan is the young woman who was shot during the protests surrounding the disputed 2009 presidential election. Her death was captured on video and broadcast widely across the internet, making her somewhat of a symbol for the opposition. And former President Khatami is now a reformist leader. Now, this cartoon was shared widely over the internet.
The whole idea was bringing Neda to the picture as a symbol of innocence in another way, and how the politicians were taking advantage of opposition movement, the Green Movement, for their own political causes. And that was another painful thing for me, because I believe Neda and many others who were innocently killed after the 2009 election are supposed to be respected by everyone, especially by the politicians who do not respect their lives at all.
Speaking of that election, your cartoons appeared on a lot of the posters that were held by the protesters. How did that feel?
I was actually happy to see that my cartoons were relevant to the cause, because I've been out of the country for almost 9 years, more than 9 years, and having my cartoons on different signs and on being printed by people on the street and being held on the street showed that there was a good connection between me, who a cartoonist living out of the country, and the people on the ground, on the streets. So that was very lovely. Let me tell you, I do not feel obligated to draw cartoons that please activists. I've always said this. I just draw whatever I think it's supposed to be drawn, just whatever I think is right.
That was Nick Kosar, the exiled Iranian cartoonist, journalist, and blogger. We'll be featuring some of his work in Sketches of Iran, our upcoming book that pairs political cartoons with personal essays from a diverse group of Iranians, including activists, students, lawyers, actors, researchers, and comedians, as well as the relatives of a number of prisoners of conscience living in Iran. That's all for this edition. For more news about human rights issues in Iran, visit our website at IranHumanRights.org. Join us next time for the Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening. Thank you.